It says of Jesus, he increased in favor with God and with man. It's amazing. I understand why he needs to increase in favor with man, because it's going to be Zacchaeus that welcomes him into his home. It's going to be the Pharisee that invites him, you know, to his house, to where Mary washes his feet. It's going to be these people that give opportunity for Jesus to step in. But how is it that Jesus, the Son of God, who is absolutely perfect in every possible way, how is it he has to increase in favor with God? I don't know. I don't have an answer. I just know if he did, you and I might want to consider our need for increased favor with God as well. And now the Lord, this angel of the Lord, appears to Mary and says, "Rejoice, highly favored one." This favor would cause her to be valued and celebrated for all of eternity. Everywhere the gospel is shared, there is celebration for this woman who said yes, and the miracle produced Jesus. She is celebrated, but she was also opposed. And favor does that to our surroundings. I exhort strongly, do not make excuses for the favor of God. Simply embrace it and give him the honor and the credit for it. I've shared this even in recent weeks, but you know, the whole point is when somebody comes to you and they celebrate you and they thank you and they tell you did such a great job, please don't say it wasn't me, it was Jesus. Because, you know, besides it being nauseating for the rest of us, I come to somebody and I say, "It's a beautiful song you just sang." They tell me, "Oh, it wasn't me, it was Jesus." I'm thinking, "Yeah, it wasn't that good. It was good. But let's be honest, if Jesus sang that, universes would be created, you know. If it just his declared word would have just changed everything. So it was good, but it wasn't that good." When someone comes to you with a compliment, receive it. If you don't know how to receive honor, you'll have no crown to throw at his feet. You have to know how to receive honor. Then when you get alone with the Lord, you just say, "Look what was given to me that belongs to you." It's a part of the process. So back to the story. Mary is called this highly favored one, and she had both blessing and challenges because of the favor, and favor will do that. The subject of favor is not our subject today, so I've got to go quick on this, but a favor is the difference between some people fulfilling why they're alive and others who don't. The issue of favor. People can have a call of God on their life but never learn the need for favor. And so they never increase in favor and thus never have the appropriate open doors, the support, whatever is needed to be able to accomplish what God has called them to do. Favor is the issue. It says of Jesus, he increased in favor with God and with man. It's amazing. I understand why he needs to increase in favor with man, because it's going to be Zacchaeus that welcomes him into his home. It's going to be the Pharisee that invites him, you know, to his house, to where Mary washes his feet. It's going to be these people that give opportunity for Jesus to step in. But how is it that Jesus, the Son of God, who is absolutely perfect in every possible way, how is it he has to increase in favor with God? And I don't know. I don't have an answer. I just know if he did, you and I might want to consider our need for increased favor with God as well. And don't think that what you have is enough, because part of what you need is what you can obtain through faithfulness with what you have. So we'll leave that there. Let's move on down to this verse 32. It says, in the last half of the verse, the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. That's strange, because in verse 35, it says he will be called the Son of God, but in verse 32, he's called the Son of David. this is one of the things that has marked me, is to see God look at this man, David, who God said, he has a heart after my heart. The Lord looked at this man, David, and said, I'm going to call my son your son forever. How do you obtain such a place of favor with the Almighty God? It tells me he's impressionable. It tells me it's possible to leave a mark on his heart. He's not this robotic being. He's one who has invited us into this relational journey. And we've got times in Scripture where someone would demonstrate faith. The centurion demonstrates faith. The Syrophoenician woman, they demonstrate this faith. And Jesus stops in the middle of the miracle. He says, I've not seen faith like this in all of Israel. How is it that you have God stand up and go, wow, look at that. I've never seen anything like that before. See, there are certain responses that the people of God can have to him that's not generic. It's not apathetic. It's unique. It's honest. It's real. It's absolute surrender. And he stops and he says, you know what? I'm going to call my son your son. Never have I seen such great faith in all of Israel's history. This is a relational journey. This is not a Christian routine where you jump through hoops and try to accomplish a certain regimen. I've been invited to know God. And in my heart of hearts, knowing him is the reason I'm alive. It's the reason I wake up in the morning. It's the reason I go to bed at night. It's the reason behind everything is this invitation to actually walk with the one who created all things and to come to know him. And there's something about this privileged invitation that makes everything else pale in comparison. I remember talking to some young people years ago. I was in this group of about 20 or so, and I said, the claims of Jesus are so absolutely astronomical, so extreme, that if it is true, I owe him my entire life to that which is true. But if it is a lie, it has made such a mark on history that I owe my entire life to humanity to disprove that this thing that he has claimed is true. In other words, it is a line in the sand that says, choose your side. It is that demanding. It is not gray. It's not a gray area. It's not an apathetic area. It's not an area that we stand back and simply applaud. It's like the claims of this Jesus to actually atone for sin, to make it to where I can have peace forever with God, where his nature can become my own nature, that I am actually changed from the inside out, that I find out why I'm alive. Suddenly, this becomes crystal clear. And it becomes clear through the redemptive work of Jesus. And here in this moment, he's called the Son of God, but he's also called the Son of David.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you watched this video. I do pray that it's a great, great strength and encouragement to you. And I've got a verse that really is my cry for all of us. And it's Psalms 20, it's verse 4. May he grant you your heart's desire and fulfill all your plans. That's my prayer. That's my prayer, is that this would be the season of rich, rich fulfillment. Thanks for joining us.